Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. The last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we began a study of Luke chapter 15 under the title, The Prodigal God. In this text, Jesus told several stories about lostness in order to illustrate the overflowing generosity of God's heart. During our last time together, we were looking at Jesus' story about the lost sheep. And we saw how the shepherd searched for and rescued that lost one. There was great rejoicing when the shepherd arrived home with the lost sheep. So let's return to our study now on the prodigal God. As we begin, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." What then do we make of Jesus' words in verse 7? He said, "There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." The word sinner surely connects us back to verse 1, but who are the 99 just persons who need no repentance? Well, there are, as I see it, two possibilities. The first one suggests a hint of our Lord's descent from heaven. There, he left the heavenly host who had kept their first estate and continued to faithfully serve before God's throne. These angelic beings had no need of repentance. But this world, a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, was the one sheep that made necessary the incarnation and death of the Good Shepherd. And because he cannot contain his joy, he invites the whole celestial family to rejoice with him in the finding of the lost one. The other possibility is that Jesus, for the sake of argument, accepted the Pharisees' claim about themselves. And by their own words, he condemns them for their criticism of his efforts to save the lost. They were blind to their own need of repentance. They didn't share the shepherd's concern for the lost sheep. They saw themselves as spiritually superior to those erring ones. If the first possibility is correct, why would there be more joy over one sinner who repents than over the legions of unfallen angels? Well, the answer to that question should be evident. The shepherd did not shed his blood for angels. His life and death remain a mystery upon which they meditate with awe and wonder, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. But repenting sinners represent the reward of the shepherd's compassion, his love, and his sacrifice. By the active grace of God on their hearts, they respond to the loving voice and the tender touch of the shepherd. This first scene of the parable highlights our lostness, our helplessness, our hopelessness. If the Good Shepherd does not seek us, we are doomed. But the prodigal God sent the Good Shepherd. He left the glories of heaven and the continual worship of the heavenly beings. He descended to the earth to seek and to save lost sheep. That's you and me, my friend. As I ponder my lostness, the shepherd seeking and finding me, and the great rejoicing occasioned in heaven, I'm reminded of the last verse of Will Thompson's song, Softly and Tenderly. It goes like this: "Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me." What a beautiful reality for a lost sheep. Have you allowed the shepherd to carry you home on his shoulders? The second story, then, is about the lost coin. As we begin this section, I note again how Luke integrates women into his gospel narrative. We know that Jesus had many women followers, and they especially could appreciate the meaning of this story that Jesus was about to tell. It highlights the feminine virtues of careful observation, of patience, and diligence. It's a good reminder to us that the qualities of men and women are both needed to help us understand who God is and how we're made in His image. So, a woman has 10 silver coins, and she loses one. Unlike the sheep, the coin is inanimate. It doesn't wander off and get lost. It's lost either through the carelessness of the owner, or perhaps in the daily hustle and bustle of living. Furthermore, it doesn't know it's lost. But once again, no one suggests to the woman, "You still have 9 coins. Don't worry about that lost one." The word used here indicates a coin that is of very little value, a quarter of a shekel, worth about 15 or 20 cents. Yet in the sequence of the stories, the coin evidently holds more value than a sheep. And so we might ask, how can that be? I understand that women of the day often received these coins as part of their dowry, so they signified betrothal or marriage. They'd wear these as a decorative frontlet on their forehead. Can you imagine the embarrassment of wearing a frontlet with an obvious gap where the missing coin should be? Furthermore, an unmarried or widowed woman in that culture had a difficult life. So the frontlet said, "I belong to a man. Someone is caring for me." It was a symbol of their security. Now, that the coin in question was valuable beyond its monetary worth is shown by the woman's response. As soon as she realized the coin is missing, she lights a lamp, because peasant houses of that day had no windows, and she begins a thorough house cleaning. The text says she seeks diligently until the coin is found. And then once again, when the lost is found, there is great rejoicing. So she calls her women friends, the noun here is feminine, and she invites them to rejoice with her. Now they would have readily understood her response to the loss and to the recovery. The loss was an occasion for shame, and the recovery was the restoration of honor. They would have felt the same way she did in a similar circumstance. And notice her acceptance of responsibility. "I have found the coin that I had lost." The shepherd, seeking his sheep, displays divine tenderness. The woman seeking her coin displays divine earnestness. Here we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who reveals the condition of lostness and seeks the lost. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Prodigal God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Prodigal God. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Prodigal God. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Prodigal God. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.